Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and welcome to Nintendo World Report's Connectivity, Episode 12. We'll start out this week with a discussion of listener mail and news both big and small between Neil, Scott, and Zach. Then, Scott and myself discuss a couple games we've been playing recently, Pushmo and The Michael Jackson Experience 3D. Finally, we'll close with a brief new speed rant segment from Zach. As always, we love involving our audience in the show, so please post comments on the episode at NintendoWorldReport.com, and you can send your listener mail to connectivity@NintendoWorldReport.com. Enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Connectivity. I am Scott Thompson. Today I'm joined by Zachary Miller.
What's up?
Neil Ronahan.
Hey, hey, hey.
And that's it. We're going to talk some news. We've got some listener mail, too. And I'll go ahead and say now that we're going to read three listener emails that we got. We got a couple more this past week. Apparently, everyone is sending us email now. So we're going to hold on to those and read them next week. So if you don't hear yours today, it just didn't kind of tie into the news we were going to talk about. So
and you can, it's actually because we don't like you.
And we had something just come in on the news desk right this second as we are recording. Nintendo mainstay Shigeru Miyamoto is stepping down. Literally right before we started recording this. Wired.com. Chris Kohler, friend of the site. I guess maybe not the show, but the site. Chris Kohler interviewed Miyamoto recently, I assume for all the games he worked on, saying that, hey, I'm not going to work on those games anymore. He's stepping down from his position of Nintendo, which I don't remember his exact position, but it was basically Mr. Overview every major game and make sure everything's going well.
Right.
So he's stepping down from that and basically going to get back to, I guess, more hands-on development, working on smaller games. I guess it's kind of more of what he did when he was younger, as opposed to what he's been doing lately, which has just been like an Uber producer. So
right.
Crazy.
I think it's interesting that he said that part of the reason he's doing this is to let the younger developers know that he's not always going to be around to kind of help them out.
I know. Doesn't this feel like The Lion King, where Simba's dad takes him like out to like overlook the entire, you know, like the entire like prairie, or well, not prairie, whatever it is, and you know,
Savannah.
Yeah, Savannah, thank you. You know, and he's just giving him that thoughtful speech about he's not always going to be here, and someday this will all be his.
I feel like there was
like,
some kind of meeting,
Dad,
where it's like,
I'm awesome.
It's like Tezuka and Miyamoto took out like Kazumi, you know, Sakurai's not part of Nintendo technically anymore, but like Anuma, and just took him out and was like, guess what, guys? We're going to give you the keys to the car. That'd be pretty cool. Because, I mean, if you do notice it, just Nintendo's kind of, I mean, over the years, especially with the Iwata-esques, where we've been having more of a highlight of the individual developers, it's a lot of young people working on these games. Especially, yeah. I mean, you look at the Kirby, both the Kirby Wii and the DS games, like, it's people that seem to be more, I mean, fresh out of college, and then it's like, yeah, I did some stuff on, like, you know, Phantom Hourglass, and now I'm working on this Kirby game, I'm like 26. As opposed to when it always seemed like Miyamoto was the figurehead, which he was. But I guess like all the other developers were kind of in the background. Now they're kind of coming up through the woodwork. You know, you got Anuma, who's been working on Zelda. I guess he's been like overseeing it to a degree since Majora's Mask. I know he worked on Ocarina. I don't think he did. He wasn't in a leader capacity there. You got Kazumi over at EAD Tokyo, who's been kind of like the big head of, you know, Mario 3D Land and, you know, Galaxies. You got Kano, who worked on like Nintendogs and I think WarioWare maybe, and then also, you know, helped design the 3DS.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it had to happen eventually, and I think this is kind of cool because this really does open up an opportunity where maybe he can make some small games and they'll be released as, you know, downloadable games on whatever we use, you know, online system might be called.
And more
eShop, maybe, again.
Almost more importantly, to a cynic like me, maybe this will force some of Nintendo's series to change with some new blood at the top.
Yeah. Well, maybe you've already seen that.
Maybe you won't have to. Maybe you won't have to collect the three spirit stones before you go to the eight dungeons anymore.
No, Zach. You can be thankful. Also, one, that doesn't really happen in Skyward Sword. You should play it, dog.
Dude, I fucking hate you, man.
Anuma is still overseeing Zelda, he's been there since Ocarina. So, I mean, I know people have kind of shat on Anuma in the past, and that, you know, he's kind of overburdened by the legacy of Zelda. But I mean, to a degree, I think Skyward Sword kind of proved that. Like, I want it to change, but I don't really want it to be that different.
Well,
I mean, that's kind of my mantra with the Zelda games. But I think it's really exciting to see Miyamoto work on smaller projects again. I mean, yeah, this could produce another Wii Music, but you got to think about, like, this is how Mario came about. This is how Zelda came about, which is kind of like this, you know, I mean, albeit, you know, he's 30 years younger. but, I mean, he, small development, came up with Mario Brothers. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Maybe in 10 years or so, we'll have a whole new bunch of franchises that started out small.
Yeah, like born out of his just small little game ideas.
Yeah.
That'd
be cool.
Yeah, so it's cool. I think it's a great opportunity for him, and it doesn't really worry me at all. I feel like the last batch of games have been, you know, like first party games have all been pretty solid this year and even last year, and I know he has influence and he's there, but
he's more of a figurehead.
Right. I feel like it is more of a collective effort. Maybe he gives his opinion and you know, people ask him things.
It's probably more like people ask him his opinion and he says, "Yeah, do this."
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right. It's not like he's making these games all on his own or anything.
No.
I think the spirit of Nintendo will still be there. So, yeah. So, anything else? I mean, this is just sort of kind of shocking just to come out.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely... I mean, it is, like you said, I mean, it's not like he's leaving Nintendo with nothing. Like, he's been, you know, bringing up young developers. And I also feel like this will be the kind of thing where it's like, you know... Sakurai, there was a big to-do when he left Nintendo a couple years ago, and then motherfucking came back and made Brawl and is making Kid Icarus and is making the next Smash Brothers after that, after talking about how, like, oh, I'm getting away from this. Like, what are you doing? You're just doing what you always did. You're just now got your own company. Yeah. And I don't even think it says that he's leaving Nintendo. He's just stepping down from his role. So...
Oh, yeah. It's not like he's going to
His opinion will still be felt, and I have a feeling that Even if he's not, you know, like, Uber producer, he's still going to have some say on, you know, probably whatever, you know, the next Zelda game is. Anuma will probably be like, yeah, Miyamoto, what do you think? And he'll give his 2 cents and upend a few tea tables.
Yep.
They got a good design philosophy there.
Maybe Sega offered him twice as much.
Wouldn't that be great if it all these years later now?
Maybe he's replacing the guy from the guy from Team Ico who was leaving? Maybe he'll replace him.
Maybe Last Guardian will actually come out if Miyamoto is on the helm.
It'll take a 5-year development.
And it won't work well. It won't run well on the PS3.
Well, there you go. All right, so I guess we'll go ahead and move on then.
Yeah.
We've got two...
Let us know what you think about Miyamoto stepping down. I mean, I think even at this point, I literally sat down to podcast and Scott made a comment about how, like, oh, we got something interesting to talk about. I'm like, what? So I haven't even fully digested this yet. I'm interested to hear what everyone's thinking. So email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com.
Yeah. I think we should do a contest where we should have listeners write a haiku about Miyamoto.
What do you think his next game will be? I mean, it's a smaller game. I don't think it'll be Pikmin 3. Just throwing it out there.
No, probably not.
Pikmin 3DS where X.
There you go.
3D Land.
Just add all these things to the end of it.
Yep.
3D Land 7 Sword.
Deluxe. all right, well, let's go ahead and let's move on. So this broke, this news, late last week after we'd already recorded, and it is the fact that Xenoblade Chronicles is, in fact, coming to North America.
How weird is that?
Dude, as a GameStop exclusive.
It was a really, like...
That sucks.
it was a very, like, kind of humorous chain of events, because I was around for where this was born out of a rumor that got posted up on NeoGAF.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was a listing right from GameStop that just said, right. April 3rd, Xenoblade GS exclusive. And then, seeing that and just everyone's reaction was, it's not going to be exclusive to GameStop. It's just going to be, an exclusive edition, maybe with a class controller. And the whole time, I know, Scott, I was talking to you about it, where it was one of those things where I kind of figured that, maybe it will be a GameStop exclusive. It makes sense. And everyone was saying no. And then it was. So
yeah, it absolutely was. Yeah.
But it's kind of crazy how it's a GameStop exclusive. And I kind of hope that Nintendo will do that with other games.
Yeah, especially games that they feel like they're taking a chance on by bringing here. I guess before we go too far, we got an email, and it kind of ties exactly into this whole GameStop discussion. So I feel let's read it first, because I know we're going to be discussing this the business strategy here a bit.
Horse, well, not really a high horse, but just on the of the opinion that
the high lip Tyler.
but about how the way that Nintendo's releasing this, basically it's destined to fail. Because it's not like it's going to get a big marketing push. And that's what everyone was saying back when they didn't bring it over. It's like, you put some effort behind this, it can be, like Skyrim. But it's going to be a fucking GameStop exclusive and a Nintendo Store exclusive. Who's going to buy it? Us. Mm-hmm. That's it. No more, no less. Maybe a few confused parents that get tricked into GameStop.
Well, you can also buy it on Nintendo's online store, but who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, if you don't want to support GameStop.
I mean, now that it's coming out in North America, I'll probably end up getting it, and maybe at launch, maybe after, I don't know, but I want to check it out now that I don't have to go through the hassles of importing, because that never really appealed to me that much.
I
do feel like it is a little later, especially because I think the word on the street is that the last story is going to hit Europe in March. Mm-hmm. So it's we'll be getting the first of that coveted trio while Europe's already going to have had the second one for a month.
But we can only buy enough Xenoblade in North America, they won't give us Last Story.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope that maybe, we'll get Xenoblade as a GameStop exclusive in April, and then maybe in July we'll get The Last Story as a GameStop exclusive, and then maybe over the, later in the summer we'll get Pandora's Tower as a GameStop exclusive. I think there's a potential for these games that are already translated for Europe that they can kind of on the cheap bring them over here, not put a lot of promotion behind it, and maybe not sell a lot, but at least people will shut up about it.
Right. And I think it's a smart business decision, rather than having to make enough copies to sit on store shelves all over the world, or all over the country, I should say. They just make a limited pressing and just have it sit at GameStop's, and once it's gone, it's gone, it sounds like. I do wonder how GameStop got involved in this.
I do too.
What their incentive is.
Well, yeah, what's their angle here?
Right.
I would bet
goodwill.
That's what I'd bet. I would bet they're trying, because they must, the corporate offices must know that real gamers hate their guts. So this is probably their attempt to sway public opinion a little bit and say, look it, we know you love this game, and here it is. We're bankrolling it. Love us.
Yeah.
But are they?
Yeah,
we don't
right.
really have any proof if GameStop's bankrolling the localization. Or
oh,
not.
Really? Oh, okay.
I mean, you would think there'd have to be something like that. Yeah. I mean, what finally made Nintendo decide now's the time to do it?
Exactly.
America, I should say. I mean, it's pretty crazy, but it's great. I mean, the game's relatively loved.
I might play it now, even though I'm not a big RPG guy.
See, I think that's where it's going to win out a little bit in North America, is that we do have those people, I think all three of us, that we are pretty big Nintendo fans, and we didn't go out of the way to import it. But now that it's coming to North America and everyone's saying such good things about it, I think I know, Scott, are you interested in picking it up?
Oh, yeah, I think I probably will. It's great, too, because it's right at that time of year where there probably won't be that much to play anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely it's the kind of game that, as long as I don't have to, set up and hack my Wii. And I know that's really easy to do. I've done it in the past. But it's I don't want to have to, order it and then wait for it for a long time. If I want to pick it up, I just want to pick it up and put it in my system. I don't feel like going through any of that rigmarole.
No.
Right.
I do feel bad for all the people who imported it, because now it's coming here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the comeback that they'll have is we're playing it now. It's I don't really have time to play it now. So,
so
I'm not that upset about it.
Yeah. Which actually, that ties into the second email we got about Xenoblade Chronicles, which, Zach, if You're ready now. You can read this one.
Yay. This is from Hiawada. This one is. He says, I imported Xenoblade Chronicles. Now I have pre-ordered it from GameStop. Do you know if my save file from the UK version will work for the American version, or will I have to start from the beginning? Thank you. All right. 3, 2, 1, no.
No.
Wait, what?
No.
No.
Neil, I wish you would have been yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't think, I really don't think, I don't think so.
Did you see the eShop at first? Did you see the 3DS at launch? Like, love them. I mean, to tease a little bit of what we're going to talk about in a little bit, like, eShop right now and, like, the UI on the 3DS, great. At the start, eh. I don't think these people are going to be able to let you, you know, change the save file illegally. Because technically importing the game, that is illegal. They don't want you to do that.
Right. Well, yeah, because if you've had to hack your Wii to play it, like, yeah I don't think it's going to, this no game's going to recognize that save file.
And it does suck. It does suck. Do you think they'll ever make a region-free system, ever?
I mean, they used to. I don't think anymore, and I think that has to do more with, like, the online stuff than anything else.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Because the more you get online, the more, you know, that becomes a dodgy proposition. I mean, I guess it's like if you look at stuff with, like, the PS3, how you can make an account for every region. And then you look at Vita, and there's only going to be one account per system.
Right.
I mean, there might be ways that you can do region-free, but I don't really think there's a way where it really where it behooves the publisher of the system to really make it region-free anymore. Because it just basically opens up to more piracy.
Exactly, yeah. They have no incentive to do it. So they just never thought about it before because the world seems so much bigger and you didn't think that that was going to be a concern. But yeah, now you, like, just like you said, Neil, with the internet, yeah, it's not so hard to get games from other regions. Or, yeah, to find ways to hack your system that way. Yep. So,
and, I mean, really, all their handhelds prior to the DSi. Yeah, I think the DSi exclusive games were region restricted, I believe. Mm-hmm. And all the other ones, DS weren't, and everything before that wasn't at all. So, the 3DSs, though, which kind of sucks, because I'd love to import some of those crazier Japanese games. Like Love Plus. And I'm at a point where I play my 3DS so much that I would actually probably play those games, and I mean that just kind of sucks. But you could still play import DS games on your 3DS. I played Inazuma 11 that way.
Oh really? Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. All right. Well, yeah. So great. Xenoblade will be here in April.
Yay!
Looking forward to it. So yeah, I guess our last bit of big news then to talk about is the 3DS system update.
Whoa.
I haven't updated.
Well, actually, if you're within spot pass range with your system, it's probably already downloaded.
Well, I don't even have my system on.
Oh, okay.
I know as soon as I turn it on, yeah, it'll start doing that, which is really cool, actually.
Yeah, because that happened to JP last night where he just picked up his system and was like, whoa, holy crap, I got an update. Whereas yeah, I'm so there where, like, I found out about it immediately. I turn on my system, and it's just taking forever. And, like, while I'm doing this, like, Patrick and Aaron are just like, yep, got it to download. I'm like, damn it, come on. Why aren't you moving? Everyone else is playing with their accomplishments and shit. Damn it.
Well, Neil, why don't you talk a little bit about what...
Hold on. Can people see those accomplishments?
I don't know. I'm literally opening up my system right now.
Hey, I am too. Awesome. We'll do it together.
All right, I got the Mii Plaza. Well, I'll boot that up. So
shit,
the things that they
turn mine on.
Yeah,
start that update.
This is a live tour of the 3DS update. I'm busting out my Mii Plaza. I got my new Epona hat on. It was either that or the new Arwing hat, but I liked the idea of having a saddle on the back of my head. That was almost like some kind of haircut.
Oh, by the way, before I forget, you guys need to get Freaky Forms. Seriously. It is awesome.
Oh, I have Freaky Forms. I just haven't touched it since I got Mario Kart.
How many dick-shaped monsters have you made? Because I've made 3.
I made 1.
Nice.
I was going to say, Zach,
I need to dive more into it.
Have you guys seen that there's an ad campaign that has Freaky Forms in it?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's for the 3DS, and this guy's playing his 3DS with, like, two of his buddies. And one of them doesn't have a 3DS. He's like, what are you doing? Are you playing a game over there? And he's like, no, not exactly. And then he's like talking about how he downloaded Freaky Forms. And he's
holy crap, how are there 100 Mii characters in my plaza all of a sudden? What just happened?
You get them from Mario Kart, actually. Mario Kart. That's something that's new.
Oh, damn. Because
I can look at Striker Obi, who I have never street passed before, but I can see his lovely Mii. And when you click on it, it just says met via invitation. So you don't get all the other information that you get from street passing people.
That's bizarre.
You get the puzzle piece and stuff?
No, you don't get a puzzle piece from that. The puzzle piece is actually, that's something that got added. You know, you still have those original seven, but they added seven new ones. I believe there's Zelda, or Ocarina of Time 3D, Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart 7, Pilot Wings, Rhythm Heaven, Donkey Kong Country Returns,
damn,
and a seventh one.
There's another Donkey
Star Fox
Kong
64
Country
3D.
One?
Yes.
Because there was already one originally.
Yeah, I only have the Mario Kart one right now because they basically give you a piece for a new one, and it's random. But the Mario Kart and Super Mario ones are 40 pieces big, and the other ones are 24. And they also have this whole thing where there's these purple pieces in the middle. There's 8 for the 40-piece ones and 4 for the 24 ones. And I think you can only get those through Spot Pass because now the Mii Plaza as a whole has some tie into Spot Pass. I'm a little shaky on exactly how you're going to get those. I guess maybe they'll like randomly dole them out. Or maybe like if you pass by like the Nintendo Zone thing, which is another app that's, you know, downloaded to your system without you knowing. Right. And that's the thing that's been in Best Buys and stuff where you go in there and you connect to the Nintendo Zone and stuff like that.
Hey Neil.
Yeah?
Hey Neil.
Yeah.
How many where was it? Damn it. How many street passes have you gotten total, like for real?
594.
Oh, that's right. You went to E3. You know what? Never mind.
And I went to E3 in a bunch of Street Pass Princeton events. I'm actually going to – now I have to go back to them. There's one next Saturday at the Princeton Public Library. So actually, yeah, by the time you hear this, it's probably going on right then. I guess there's some Mario Kart being played. I'll probably do a little bit of that. But I'll do a little bit of that, but mostly I am there for the Street Passes so I can beat Find Me 2. Again.
Okay, screw you. Scott, how many street passes have you gotten?
I have 4, 2 of which came from like people that I actually know in real life and 2 that came from random strangers.
I have more than 50.
Wow, impressive.
I got 594, including Miyamoto, which I guess might be a rarity considering that he's stepping down.
Just stop. Just
over,
stop talking.
Over 50 is really impressive for me in Alaska.
I know.
I mean, I carry mine around with me. Well, at least I used to right when I first got it. And like, I could never find any. I got one walking around the mall, and then I got one at the midnight showing of the last Harry Potter movie.
I have
walking
one guy
around
that
the comic
by.
Book shops in the mall.
Okay, see, I thought the Harry Potter movie was going to be a gold mine. I was like, here we go.
I went to like a bunch of midnight movies over the summer, and there was like, I got the same guy like 4 times.
Nice.
Because I would just bring it with me, and I'd look around and be like, hey, I got that guy again. Like the next movie I went to, like you know, Thor, I found him, and like Green Lantern, which was a mistake, I'll admit. Shouldn't have seen that movie. It was terrible.
Nobody should.
But then I was like, hey, it's the same guy again. Oh, Harry Potter. Oh, it's that guy again. So I guess there's another dude out there that goes to a bunch of midnight movies.
Did you do the thing where you can set like a special message to go to him next time you meet him and everything?
So I remember.
Who the hell are you?
Yeah.
When you get this, raise your hand and find me. I'm in the front row.
Now there's 74 hats to get and find me.
Oh, jeez.
So that's a lot. We have a list on the website. If you got someone you want to see if you can help us out, we're trying to figure out what they all are. We only have like half of them now because we have all the ones that were originally in it and then only some of the new ones. There are a lot of hats, guys. I think you have to go through it at least 3 times to get everything. There's like there's branched paths and stuff.
Nice. Hey, my Nintendo Zone is checking data and downloading shit via Spot Pass.
They also have this cool thing called the Street Pass map where you can see where the people that you Street Pass, where they're from. So I'm just going into it now and I'm looking at the United States. I actually have not Street Passed anyone in Alaska or Hawaii.
Go figure.
But I do have, I'm scrolling through. I got 4 people in France, 3 people in Germany, 1 person in Italy, 3 people in the Netherlands, no one in Poland, 1 person in Spain. But they have all these different regions, and not only can you see like where these people are from, but you can see like what region of that area they're from. Like in Japan, like I mean, looking at this, I'm not too familiar with it, but I have people from 10 different regions, and it looks like, you know, probably some folks from Tokyo, probably Kyoto as well. And
I've
Canada,
only got Alaska
some people
and California. Nintendo Zone actually looks pretty cool. It looks like you go to Best Buy and you can download coupons and stuff. That's what it says, anyway.
Yeah. But you actually need to go to a Nintendo Zone location. There's also a music player where you can listen to all the music. The accomplishments are a new thing. It's like achievements for all the Street Pass Mi Plaza stuff. There's, I think, 70 of them. I have 34 right now. But there's funny ones like getting the same puzzle piece three times that you already have three times in a row, which is kind of like, screw you.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens. Scott,
yeah,
there's
78
you're not
total.
Appearing on my 3DS. Are you like, what's your number?
Yeah, yeah, I don't think I've exchanged with too many people on the staff or anyone, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. It's updating now, so I can't get to my number.
Okay.
But
right.
Once I get it, I'll get it out to you guys. I'll email you.
Sweet.
I got a spot pass.
Fellows.
But and then they updated Find Me as well. You can also now you can double up on people as well. That's kind of cool. So like I had TYP and Jared. They're both red, and because we went to E3 together, they are both at level 7. So you can have them team up because they're both red, so they're both the same color. Or you can get people that are similar colors. Like Aaron was saying that he had someone that was red and someone that was orange, and they teamed up. But they can't do combined magic, but you can do combined magic if they're the same color.
Cool.
So then they combine, and then they become a level 15, and they basically just kick the crap out of everything.
Nice.
Do like this ridiculous fireball thing. And they're just, I mean, they added more strategy and depth to it, and it's pretty cool. They also added like these potion things. So actually what I was doing when I was on the final boss, I had, you know, my Uber team red, and then I had a couple like, you know, randoms that I hired. And I would just have them, they would use potions that would revive the people that were fallen. So that was cool.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, just explaining how I was able to get Jared and TYP without having Street Pass them recently, you can hire people that you've already passed.
That
so that's
nice.
Cool as well.
Oh, nice.
Also, we shouldn't forget the 3D camera now has video. This is very important.
I think we can very easily forget that.
Well, actually, that ties a little bit into that third and final email we're going to read today about the system update. Neil, if you want to...
All right, I will read that from David Kottman. For a while now, I have heard you guys mainly talk about the 3DS's update as only video recording, which was hilarious, by the way. But one thing I have been interested in and somewhat excited about is the inclusion of the DLC at long last to this update. I believe it could add, if Nintendo feels like doing it, the additional characters to Mario Kart 7 or even more parts for the carts. It could even add new items to the new Animal Crossing game next year. What are your thoughts regarding the addition of DLC for Nintendo games and imagining that Nintendo might actually utilize an online capability and where it might take them in the future? Thank you for reading this and keep up with the amazing podcast. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would love to see DLC.
I don't think we'll get it for Mario Kart 7
because the hooks would already have to be in there, and I don't think the hooks would be in there.
Yeah, I don't either. But future games, I'm sure we'll make use of it. Although Nintendo's never been very big on releasing, you know, DLC. Maybe they just haven't had a way to do it well before. But they've always been kind of like, you buy the whole game, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's why, like, I'm excited that the infrastructure's in there now, but I can't even imagine how Nintendo would utilize it. Like, what would Nintendo DLC even look like? I mean, I know third parties could use it, and maybe new maps or... Yeah, like new characters or character skins or something, you know, dumb like that. But, like, I don't even know how Nintendo would use it. Like, I don't imagine them doing something like that. You know, I feel like they would try to make it something worthwhile, I guess. And
right.
I have no idea how they would use it.
Nor do I.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's cool. I mean, I'm excited. I'm glad it's there.
Yeah.
It's about time.
It's a good thought.
Yeah, it is a good thought some years later. But yeah, I don't know. I'm interested.
I mean, there might also be demos tomorrow.
Oh, that
yeah,
would be
that's
nice.
Right. Yeah, demos are supposed to come. Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. Like if Nintendo did like level packs as DLC, you know, so like for Super Mario 3D Land, even though it probably couldn't work for that because that game's too, you know.
Yeah. A theoretical sequel.
Yeah, right. You know, where what if Nintendo I guess sort of like how Professor Layton, they had those like weekly puzzles, but really they were just on the cart.
Desk, and,
like,
yeah,
it just unlocked every week or whatever, or every day.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool would that be if every week they did like digitally, you know, not digitally, but I guess digitally, if they released a like a new level online, you had to download it.
You know, I'll bet I know why they had that stuff on the card instead of actually releasing it. I'll bet it's so that everyone could get the same stuff. You know, I'll bet so you don't miss a day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Kind of like that, but.
Well, plus they just, I don't know, they couldn't fit all those new puzzles on the cart if there wasn't room on it to begin with.
Right.
You know, it's not like the DS had much internal memory, so.
Right.
They just put it all in there to begin with, just unlock it. So, yeah, I don't know. I just finished downloading the update now, though. So I'll play with it later. I guess you guys got me excited about it, talking about it. So
the 3D video stuff, I mean, it's cool,
it's
I guess.
There.
You can record in 3D. You can also do, like, kind of, like, interval, like, sport mode kind of stuff. Stop motion as well.
Right.
And it also has, you can now take pictures of QR codes. I know Aaron was doing some testing of that last night. And, you know, like a QR code for a website would then open up the browser.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's cool.
QR code of a Mi would then take you to the Mi Maker. However, a QR code for the 3DS download game Pyramids was not recognized.
Interesting.
But,
well.
There you go.
All right. Well, I guess that'll just about do it then. Yeah. So thanks a lot, guys. A lot of interesting news this week.
Yeah.
Like I said, anyone who sent in mail and we didn't get to, we'll get to it next week. If anyone else has listener mail they'd like to send in, you can do that at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and we'll be right back.
Well, I would like to, before we go,
can I talk about my sad Wii story?
Oh, yeah, you can talk about your sad Wii story. But first, I want to propose a question to our listeners. I'm trying to think of this question right now. Just, I guess, yeah, let's go off of what we were talking about earlier. Send in, you know, what game do you think Miyamoto's going to work on now that he's working on smaller games? Like, what type of game?
Exactly.
You know, it can be, you know, a very defined game or, you know, even do something a little more freeform. Just, you know, send an email to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com or find one of us on Twitter. You can ask it that way. I am Nron10, Nron10. You guys can say your Twitter handles.
Well, I'm at OK Soda. The letters OK in the word soda.
I'm at ZMiller1902.
There you go.
You guys know what the 1902 is?
When you were born?
1902. Wow, that would make me ancient. No, it's when T-Rex was discovered.
Oh.
Oh, there you go.
Nerd.
Nerd.
All right, so welcome to this sort of mishmash of a segment here featuring myself, Scott Thompson, and Mike Sklen.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about two 3DS games that we've been playing recently. Mike's going to talk about Pushmo, the latest, I guess, sort of puzzle game released on the eShop. And I'm going to talk about Michael Jackson Experience 3D, which I just reviewed for the site. So got a good range of games here. But Mike, why don't you go ahead and start things off and tell me a little bit about Pushmo.
Okay, so Pushmo is a game I literally like had not heard of at all until Thursday, but I guess it'd been building up a little bit of buzz overseas. But overseas, it also has a different name in every country. So I think it's called Pullbox in Europe. And I don't know what it's called in Japan. It's obviously a Japanese name, and I don't speak Japanese. So, but it's like this little puzzle game. It's from Intelligent Systems, which I spoke about this a little bit on Twitter, actually, like while I was reading up about it. The reason I ultimately decided to get this game, like basically sight unseen, is because it was made by Intelligent Systems. And I don't think Nintendo does a good job of like branding their first party teams. I think it's intentional. They want all their games to just be Nintendo games. Like, you know, Sony, you know if you're getting a game from Naughty Dog or if you're getting it from Insomniac or from whatever David Jaffe's new company is. Like, they're all very distinct studios that are all right. first parties. But Nintendo is all, for most people, would just assume it's all just Nintendo. I don't know. But Intelligent Systems is one of their teams. They made Super Metroid, which is the best video game ever. they also made most of the WarioWare game, or not most of, but a good chunk of the WarioWare games. They made Twisted, which is my favorite WarioWare game. They make Fire Emblem. They made some Advance Wars games. So they're like a pretty big name team over at Nintendo. And when you boot the game up, there's not like a splash screen or anything, but it does say at the bottom of the screen on the title screen, it says copyright 2011 Nintendo/Intelligent Systems. So at least they get that.
That's better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah. So that's why I decided to buy it. Cause it was from Intelligent Systems, and a couple people on my Twitter feed were like, this is really good. And it's only $7. It's a little puzzle game where you play like this little kid who's dressed like a sumo wrestler. And, you are walking through this place called Pushmo Park, and you have to rescue children at the top of these things that are called Pushmo, which are basically just like climbing structures. It starts out flat, and it's like almost like a little Tetris block made up of little pieces, and you can pull out the pieces up to 3 times. And then as you pull them out, you create stairs basically, and then you have to climb up to the stairs and rescue the little kid that's trapped at the top.
Right. It's kind of neat looking. I watched the, like the video that they have on eShop. And yeah, you're exactly right. It's kind of like, it's like a big sprite almost. I even saw that they had like Link from like the NES Zelda game in there at one point.
I haven't gotten there, but I did do climb up Mario's head.
Nice. Yeah. And you're right. You basically pull out each like segment of the sprite and you can pull it out. Yeah. Like up to 3 times to make a wider staircase essentially. And then you just have to climb all the way to the top.
Yeah. It's tricky because the big conceit of the game is that like, obviously, on the bottom level, you pull out the block all 3 steps. But then when you get up onto that step, the next block, you can only pull out 2 steps, because if you pull it out any further, you'd fall off.
Right.
And then you can also pull blocks from the side. You can't move them left and right, but you can get, like, if I pull a block out 2 steps, I can actually, if I get on top of that block, if I stand on the side of it, I can use a side push to pull the block above that out 3 steps, and then you have to like sort of manipulate the blocks, but you can't move the block you're standing on, which they take a lot of advantage of by making these big wraparound blocks that totally screw you over. and that's like the big conceit of the game, is that you have to figure out, like, at first it's just like, oh, pull out all the blocks and climb to the top, but as you get onto it, and I'm only in like world 2 of like, I don't even know how many there are, I think like 10 or 12 worlds, once you get to a certain point, you get to a point where you have to start pushing, pulling blocks out and then pushing them back in to get around them and then pulling them back out again. So it gets complicated quick.
Right.
And it also has the ability where you can create your own block sets, which I haven't even touched yet. But I'm sure there's already, and you can get a QR code of it, and then you can just like send the QR code and your friend can scan it and play that block. I'm sure there'll be like plenty of penises to climb up in the next couple days.
I cannot wait.
But yeah, it's really fun, and I like it a lot. This is the kind of game, like, there's a lot of content in it. It's got like each of the levels has 18 puzzles in it, and I think there's at least 10 worlds, so that's at least 180 puzzles. I think there might even be more worlds. I'm not looking at it. I've got my DS in front of me, but the game's not open. Plus, then obviously you can make your own. There's no time trial aspect, which I thought is odd. Maybe it unlocks after I beat the game or something, but it seems like this game would be ripe for, like, how fast can you solve the puzzle and get to the top?
Right. Which kind of draws comparisons to, and someone said this on Twitter. I think actually a listener had said this. This reminds me a lot of Picross. You know, this
a little
sort of
bit
in the same vein.
Yeah.
And Picross was big on that, you know, like competing for finishing puzzles the fastest. So
yeah, I'm a little surprised it doesn't do that. Another thing this is just more of a concept on, or a concept, a comment on Nintendo, is that this game costs $7. I feel like had this game come out a couple years ago, they would probably be trying to charge $30 for it and selling it as a cartridge.
Yeah.
I feel like this game is really, I don't know, just the way it looks pretty full featured. This is the kind of game I feel like they're taking a chance on this one and seeing what they can do with digital releases. Like, this is definitely the kind of game that they would have charged $30 for on the DS or something.
Right,
but now it's only
right.
seven, which I think is an odd number. I don't know why it's not 5.
Or even 8, which keeps in line with like how much they charge for Super Nintendo games on the Wii.
Yeah,
it's, you
know? Like the price structures on the eShop, like, they weird me out. Like, this is a $7 game, but I can only buy money in increments of $5.
Right.
Why is this a $7 game? You just made it a $10 game, because if I have no money in my account, I need to put $10 on my account.
Exactly,
so this game costs $10 if you don't have any money in your account.
I guess you can get a crummy Game Boy game too. Aren't those $2.99?
Yeah, I had $4 in my account. No, I had $3 in my account already, like left over, because I'm always having change because I'm always buying things that cost $4, but I always had to put $5 on my account to do it.
Well, what sucks too is they charge tax on these things, so even that it's not even.
I don't think I'm being charged tax.
Are you sure?
I'm almost positive.
I think I get charged
tax. What state are you in?
Well, Indiana.
Yeah, I don't think you would charge tax in Indiana either. We don't charge it. It looks like it's just a. It's like I don't get charged tax on Xbox Live or PSN. I don't think I'm getting charged tax here.
Huh.
I don't know.
Interesting.
So I had $4 in my account. So thankfully, or three, I had three. So then I only had to put five in. Then I had eight. Right. Now I have $1 left over. I don't know what I'm going to do with that because nothing costs less than $2.
Exactly. Yeah, you'll just sit on it till you add another five and get a $6 game. I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm really glad that they released this online. I definitely wouldn't have bought this at the store for $30. But for seven, it's a it seems odd because this is the exact kind of game that I would probably find on like an iPhone, like a little iPhone puzzler in there. It probably wouldn't have cost more than $3 or $4.
Right.
But and even with Apple taking 30%. Nintendo gets all of this money because they are both the distributor and the developer, and it still costs more. It's a small step in the right direction, I think, in that it's only $7, and it's good. It's from what may be the best video game development team at Nintendo, depending on who you ask. It could also be EAD Tokyo. I don't know.
But
lots of fun.
I mean, this really came out of nowhere. I did the Game of the Year segment for the live show a couple weeks ago. And Dan was on there, and being in Europe, he had actually already had the game. And
right.
He did have this like on his list of like best eShop games, but then it just released on Thursday, and like Twitter was a buzz. Whether it was staff or listeners and readers, I mean, everyone seemed to be kind of talking about it, and it's so high on it. So
yeah, it's really good. I mean, with there hasn't been a lot of original content, especially direct from Nintendo, put out on the eShop, except outside of like the 3D classic kind of stuff. So this is did they make Freaky Forms or did someone else make that? I don't know. I just know there was a lot of talk about Freaky Forms.
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm looking at it right now. Well, I guess it's not really going to say, is it?
No, probably not. You might have to.
Let's see what info says.
Check Wikipedia or something.
Info says nothing. Yeah, oh well. Well, no, there's an Iwata Asks video for it, so it must have been done by someone at Nintendo.
Yeah, that's true.
So they've got Freaky Forms, which was also $7, I think. Maybe that's what they're trying to price their original games at for eShop. And then Pushmo, which is great. I highly recommend it if you like puzzle games. It's also like, it's like probably 80% puzzling, 20% platforming in that, like, you do have to make some jumps. Like, you can jump around corners a little bit. So it's not just, like, simple solve the puzzle, climb up the thing. You have to do a very, very minimal amount of, like, skill jumping to get up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it looked like in the video. Like, not too demanding, but still requires more than just, like, a puzzle game.
It's tricky because when I was playing it, I thought, like, oh, well, this is easy. I'll just jump up the blocks. And then there was a time when I thought, I wonder if I can make that jump. And then I did, and I was like, oh, well, this is a new aspect to the game. There are tricky jumps you can make.
Right. To kind of, like, weasel.
It's not just about pulling out the blocks. You have to have a bare minimal of jumping ability. And you've been playing, Michael Jackson 3D Experience?
The Michael Jackson Experience 3D.
Okay.
Technically. Which I was kind of surprised at how enjoyable it was, if just limited in things to do.
It's not a dancing game, though, because it's on 3DS.
Right. Well, your hand dances, essentially. They released the Michael Jackson Experience for DS and PSP last year when the game hit every single console and system.
Right.
In those versions, it was like very much like cartoon, like cell shaded, just a cartoon Michael Jackson. And, the DS game was very much like Elite Beat Agents, where there were just circles that appeared on the screen and then you just had to press them and in time with with the beat of the song, basically. And that was pretty much it. And I think it only had like 10 songs in it. And I guess it was fairly limited. But this 3DS game, I was kind of surprised, is a fully, I don't know, like just a full new creation. It's not a port of that DS game, which I thought for sure it was going to be.
Yeah, coming out a year later.
Yeah, exactly. So instead, it gets rid of sort of the cartoony aesthetic of the DS game, and has like a fully rendered Michael Jackson, and is very much more not serious, I guess, but in line with what he actually looked like, and you know, it makes it look a little bit more realistic. And I like to, when you pick a song to play, it always opens with a little like cheesy 3D rendering of like popular scenes from that song's music video.
Oh God!
So it's like when you do like Beat It. You
just
know,
wait, is Leave Me Alone in there? That's the that's the video where he's like riding through in like the little roller coaster of like all the crazy stuff that's going on in his life.
Yeah, yeah. Is that the one where he's on the airplane too? He's riding in a little airplane.
I think so, and it kind of looks almost like a Monty Python animation.
Yes, yeah, that's in there, and they do
awesome.
They do a 3D rendering of that. Yeah, where him like flying in the airplane and like a bunch of different silly stuff.
Yeah, is Bubbles the monkey in there?
Yeah, yeah, nice. He is, or at least he's mentioned. I think I don't know if he's in it for sure. In the they have White and Black on there, or Black or White, or whatever the song's called, and they've got like a little like 3D rendered Macaulay Culkin like rapping at that point in the song,
so bad.
Just like in the music video. It's so bad, but like just growing up with those music videos, like it's just so like cheesy that I just appreciate it.
Yeah,
even though
I remember watching that video like when it premiered after like The Simpsons or something on Fox one night, and I was like, this is a huge deal.
It was a big deal, yeah. So that's kind of cool to incorporate that. I mean, he probably has some of the most recognizable music videos of all time. So seeing these, like, goofy 3D renderings is pretty neat. I think it's good fan service.
Is it, like, the actual video just post-converted into 3D, or did they, like, reanimate it or something?
No, they, like, reanimated
it. Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, it's really good. You could probably find them on YouTube. They're probably worth watching just for the cheesy factor. But what's so great is if you aren't familiar with his music videos, like, these are going to make no sense to you because it's the most random shit. Just like random things from these music videos just kind of strung all together throughout the performance, and it'll make no sense to you.
So you like, you play the game on the touch screen, but the video plays on the 3D screen?
Exactly.
That sounds like, I don't know. I feel like I would be moving my system a lot and probably breaking the 3D effect.
It actually wasn't too bad. I left the 3D on the whole time I played, which I joked with Neil about this, but yeah, it was like the first time I'd ever left the 3D on an entire time I played a game, and it was, of course, for Michael Jackson Experience versus something a little bit more substantial, I guess. But it's not too bad. So Michael's like dancing in the middle of the top screen, and then as he's dancing, these arrows will appear like on each side of him. Either like pointing left, right, up or down or diagonally, or they'll be like circles, meaning you have to draw a circle on the touch screen.
Right.
It'll be half circles, meaning you have to draw a half circle.
Right.
And basically they kind of pop up, and then, you have to swipe in that direction, like with the beat of the song. So, especially as you get further along in the difficulty, it's actually kind of neat. And it feels a lot like something like Donkey Konga or even like playing the drums on Rock Band, where it's like when you really are nailing it at the harder difficulties, like you're tapping and you're swiping with the beat of the song, and you can hear it and you can feel it, and you get that like real like tactile.
You get that percussion
feel.
Element, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, of like a good rhythm game. So it's really well executed in that aspect. But there's just not enough to do, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of disappointed. There's no like campaign mode or like story mode that really goes through his like career and introduces you, you know, to the different eras. It's pretty much just like you start the game, every song's unlocked right from the start, you can play them in any order you want, and really the only reason to keep playing is to like get high scores, which there's no online leaderboards, although there is Street Pass, so you can you know, like trade scores with friends or with random people. And then as you play and get higher scores or do better on a certain song, you like unlock rewards,
mm-hmm.
which could be from something kind of useful, like an alternate costume or even like a special glove that Michael can wear, which like gives you special benefits. like the first time you miss, it'll count it as a perfect or something like that. Like it gives you these little like perks, which is kind of neat. But
That's
then you also unlock these like completely worthless features where you might unlock a trophy. So you just go like to the trophy room and you just see
there's
like,
the trophy.
Trophy. Yeah. That's nothing. Or you can unlock the tracks from the game, so you can just play them and listen to them and not have to like play along with the game.
Right.
So you could just have your 3DS open, I guess, and just be playing like 3 minutes of a Michael Jackson song rather than just like pulling up YouTube and doing it on your phone. So that feature's kind of useless.
If you were that much of a Michael Jackson fan that you had this game, I assume you probably have all of those songs on your iPod anyway.
Right, exactly. So it's kind of needless. I mean, it's not a bad idea, I guess. You know, it's kind of like unlocking the sound test, I guess. But
yeah.
It's just, it's useless, really. So I mean, functionally, I thought the game was great, and the music sounded really, really good coming out of the 3DS speakers, and obviously sounded great with headphones and everything like that. I just wish there was a little bit more to do, but in terms of like a casual game, especially for Michael Jackson fans, like I could see this being enjoyable for some people. I gave it a 7. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it technically. It was fun.
Right.
What it was, I just wish there was more incentive, you know, some multiplayer mode or some
leaderboards for a music game without leaderboards is like, why would you even make it to me? Exactly. To me at least, because I've been playing music games since Dance Dance Revolution and Guitar Hero 1, like the day it came out.
Exactly, yeah, and that's all about being competitive and
yeah.
Competing for that high score. So yeah, without that, it's just sort of limited in what's offered, but. It's fun. I mean, music's good. Pretty good selection of songs.
That's good.
So, yeah. Can't complain. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this segment. So, hopefully you enjoyed this random assortment of Pushmo and Michael Jackson Experience 3D.
Awesome.
I'm Neil Ronahan, and we're going to do a quick little new segment. But before we do, I'm going to explain it and ask for a title for the segment. So Pedro Hernandez came up with this idea of having a staffer come on and basically bitch about things for 1 minute, kind of just a focused rant. We don't have a name for it. So if you have any names, name ideas, send them over to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And maybe if I have a really good one, we'll give you some kind of prize or some notoriety. I don't know what.
You'll be internet famous.
But without further ado, here's the first segment. We got Zach Miller complaining about his Wii and 3DS experiences lately.
So great.
You have 1 minute, sir.
Okay, so longtime listeners of Connectivity and the newscast will recall that my Wii has not worked in like 6 months. So I finally bought a new Wii on Black Thursday night for $100 because that's about as much it would have cost to get the old one fixed. So I called NOA the next day, said, can you transfer all my stuff over? They said no, but send in your old Wii. It's going to have to be fixed. I said, will all my save information be okay? They said yes. Sent it in. 5 days later, got it back. All of it was gone. Now, I was able to re-download all my games, but the point is, those 120 stars I got in Mario Galaxy no longer exist. Fuck you, NOA. It turns out that every component inside my Wii was corrupted. They had to replace the hard drive, the processor, and the motherboard. Holy shit, I got a new Wii, basically. So now I have two, which is kind of nice. Anyway, the 3DS, it's never been able to connect to people. It gets to lobbies. I can get on the internet. Into game lobbies, all that good stuff, but it won't connect to people. In like Mario Kart, it just times out. So I called a guy on the phone today, and we spent an hour and a half diagnosing it, and it still doesn't work. And he ran out of ideas. He just started using internet message boards, and I said, this is probably not going to work. So tomorrow I'm going to go to my brother's house and use a different router and see if that works. And is that 60 seconds?
No, that was way over, but I didn't want to stop you.
Okay, cool.
You were about a minute 20.
Wow, nice.
But yeah, that was Zach's rant for the week.
Angry.
Let us know if you have a title for that segment. Connectivity at NintendoWorldReport.com.